Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. Right now, you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghoststories. That's betterhelp.com/ghoststories. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it is your phone calls of true horror, real ghost stories from real people in your own voices. Our phone number, 855-853-4802.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number to call and share your real ghost stories with us. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to keep our show on the air, support it, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we affectionately call you, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. We greatly appreciate the support. Allows us to stay on the air and do this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Yesterday, I'll jump right into this because I was like, well, there's the show prep for the week just kind of came out of our neighbor's mouth as we were visiting, and it was like, holy crap. Well, that's interesting to learn. So we were just out back, and this is ghost related. So everybody who's going, it's a ghost. Yes, this is ghost related. We were just outside and we were chatting with one of our neighbors because we were trying to determine where a water line was in our backyard. Really nice guy. Just kind of started talking about the history of the area. And we live in an area where there was a famous battle in the Civil War called the Battle of Prairie Grove. It's the battlefield itself is not far from here. We're like kind of on the outskirts where like the encampments would have been.
We're about 2 miles due north. Yeah. So we're kind of where the staging area would have been.
Yeah.
You know?
So why don't you share what you learned?
Well, I didn't mean to take over the conversation.
No,
you
go
keep
for
going.
It. No, you're doing good.
Well, okay. So our neighbor is super nice. And yeah. So he asked, you know, how do you like it here? I said, oh, I love it here. I said, I keep telling people I want to be buried here. And then I was told that that was illegal, and he goes, well, now that you mention it,
which is never like what you want to hear right after you make a statement like, I'd like to be buried here.
Yeah, because we were just kind of, you know, jokingly talking about that. But then apparently there is a family buried, I don't believe on our property, but on the property adjacent.
We don't believe so.
We don't know.
We don't know. I mean, from the way it was described to him, because he said, yeah, you know, so-and-so who I bought the property from was asking, you know, where are you going to put your house? And this was his house.
Yeah.
And they're about 6-7 acres behind us.
Yeah.
And so everybody's really kind of spaced out. And he said, okay, well, over on the corner, back corner of the property, which to us would assume meaning kind of back towards the river.
Yeah.
Would be the back corner of the property. That's how I would interpret mm-hmm. it. He's like, don't bury over there because there's an old family plot right over there, and there's some folks that are buried there. I don't know if it's marked or not. It's his land. I've never been back over in that part, but I'm guessing it's not marked because I don't think he knows exactly where it is. There was just more so like, okay, well, we're going to move our house about 30 feet in this direction.
Yeah, they moved it. And all these houses were built, you know, a couple years ago. So this is fairly recent. So, you know, he moved his house a little bit.
Yeah.
But also, we learned that because of the river that's right behind mm-hmm. where we are, a lot of
Native Americans,
yeah. Would camp out there. Yeah. And so apparently it's a great place to go find arrowheads and remnants of their campsites. And Tony is drooling to go get some, and I won't let him bring them in the house.
My exact reaction, because he's like, do you like collecting arrowheads or you know, Native American, you know, stuff that you find around? I said, I think it's really neat, but I said, Jen forbids me to bring it into the house. And he just laughed about it. And then he's like, well, when we were excavating the house, he's like, my excavator started digging, and then he just stopped and said, I can't go anymore from here. That, and I'll be honest, I don't know what that means. What did that mean when he said that he had to stop? Was he finding stuff, or was he coming across remains when he was digging?
It could be either.
Okay.
It could, and so I think they just went.
And moved it a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, it's not uncommon to find remains along the riverbanks. I mean, we learned that when we were up in Missouri, that the Osage would actually bury their people in the cliffs on the rivers. And so this was kind of this part of the river has a bluff. So it wouldn't surprise me. But
I think there's far more graves around than we actually know.
Yeah. But, honestly. You know, honestly, I'm not worried about it because the energy I feel on this property, I don't have any bad energy here. So I'm not worried about it. Even if, you know.
Even if there's a graveyard unmarked in the backyard.
Well, you know, hopefully they are watching and seeing that we love the land and we're improving it and we're doing the best we can with it. And that's that. That's all you can do about it. But so we learned about that. And then we also learned our street was literally the street that, you know, obviously... The dirt road was the dirt road that the North came down heading to the battle. And it's like, oh, that. And see, that was like I was telling Tony my dream for our Halloween decorations would be to have fog in the yard and then have a projection of soldiers walking across the yard like they're heading to battle, you know? And I thought that would just look really cool and it'd be so appropriate for the area. Didn't know that actually fucking happened.
Yeah. And then I was, and we were having this discussion months ago, or maybe about a month ago.
We start talking about Halloween about April.
And then you said that would be a good idea. And then I start trying to figure out logistics and how to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, well, if we got like a projector on a rail, like how you would for filming something, like a camera rail, we could probably rig it up to kind of go back and forth and then have it look as if there's a man walking. I mean, this is far more than we're probably ever going to put together, and you got to run power out there, and it would just be very difficult to do.
It's the stuff we dream about.
Doable, yes. And we go to some extremes sometimes with our ideas, and maybe at someday we'll do this once the equipment becomes maybe cheaper to do this with, or logistically more possible. I have an area I'm going to make a graveyard in, and I'm all excited about that. But the idea of having it look as though the soldier was walking across. It would be like, remember a couple of years ago when Tupac made a concert appearance?
Yeah.
Like 12 years after he died?
Well, sure.
It would be that sort of a thing that we would have to rig up.
It'd be like a hologram.
Yeah, so one day we'll have soldiers, the next day Tupac will be walking around the
Well, the thing is, now that I know that really did happen right here in front of our house, I don't know that I want to do it because I don't really want to, ghosts of soldiers, come on back.
Are you afraid that with the theory of, you know, you set up the environment similar to what they recognized in their lifetime, that it becomes like an attractant?
Absolutely. And then we have a northern encampment in our front yard of ghosts. And I don't really want to bring ghosts onto the property. Whatever's here hasn't bothered us yet. If there is anything here, knock on wood, but boy, that was a lot of information in a little bit of time. But I mean, this area is so incredibly rich with history that I'm not surprised. But we've been finding on the edge of our property these interesting rocks. And it's like, I'm going to have to ask the farmer next door what these rocks are. Because I think they're the remnants of a rock wall that divided property.
Yeah.
But I don't know that.
There's no like writing on them or anything to indicate like a marker with a name or a date or a gravestone of any sort.
I think they're just honestly property line marker before the trees were here.
I think they could be that. I think the sheer amount, I think it was a rock wall that was torn down, collapsed, animals pushed over, over the last 200 years. Yeah. I think that's probably what we're talking about, but it could be a property line marker too. But just the fact that they're on the top of the surface like that, I would think a lot of them would have eroded way down into the ground. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it was more of a fence, because there's still plenty on the surface. And yeah. I think if you dug, I think you'd find more right in that area. I think this is all that's left on the surface area.
So do we go into the other part of this?
This is where we tease that. This okay. is where we do the radio thing.
Okay.
And we go right after weather, we're going to talk about, and your 7-day forecast with your AccuWeather up to the minute Super Doppler 7000 X Max to the...
Okay. We got it.
Yeah. So we'll, I'll just tease this. So that kind of blew us away. And then we're sitting on the porch last night in the dark, as we do every night. And we're just kind of looking over our property and looking over like where the encampment area would have been and the road. And Jenny's studying something on her phone. And she just suddenly says to me, "Say you do it in the tone you did it in.
Tony?"
Yep. Just like that. And I don't know what was about to be said. I don't know if like she got some sort of bad news or something or what, because it didn't seem like that. It's just more like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know really what was about to happen or what it was about to be said. But I'm like, this should be interesting. So that, it all relates to everything we just talked about, but even crazier than you'll ever guess, because it's one of those, everything happens for a reason, and a full 360 of like something years ago.
And I still don't believe in coincidences.
Connects to this. So that's coming up after our first ghost story. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, then BetterHelp is a great place to turn to. Having some difficulty just trying to navigate the world at this moment in time and keep yourself feeling okay, you're not alone. That is something that, you know, millions of us are dealing with right now. But if you want to be the best version of you for not only yourself, but for your loved ones, your family, then you need to take some time. You need to take some energy and focus it on yourself. But how do you do it? It's not always the easiest thing to do. BetterHelp. BetterHelp can get you there. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. And you can start communicating in under 24 hours. Broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in a lot of areas. That's what I've found over the years. I've used this service. And some places I've lived, there really locally wasn't many people that were around that you could talk to, that that could provide the help that you needed. That's what's great about this and kind of our virtual world that we live in. BetterHelp can provide it for you worldwide. Log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can even schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room like traditional therapy. And plus, if getting out right now is something you don't want to do, I don't blame you. Doing this virtually, it's great. I've been doing virtual therapy for about half a year, and I love it. I think it's great. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today, and you deserve it. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Just one of them I'm seeing right here says, Gail is an excellent counselor. When I first started with BetterHelp, I was so nervous about what my counselor was going to be like. Then I got matched with Gail, and I wasn't nervous anymore. She understood my feelings and why I had those feelings. She's helped me cope a lot. It's just review after review of positive things. If you want to do this, you want to make this commitment to yourself today, do so. Just visit betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Check it out for yourself and get 10% off your first month. Visit betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's better, H-E-L-P.com/ghost stories. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Raycon. Now is the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/ghost. That's buyraycon.com/ghost for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/ghost. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, Tony. My name is Zach. I live in a town called Southport, North Carolina. You might have heard of it from the movie Safe Haven, the Nicholas Sparks book. But anyway, I come from a long line of cunning folk, is what I call it. My grandmother refers to it as discernment, but I've always used cunning folk because I am the Wiccan in the family. Anyways, I deliver newspapers at night, and I have seen many a thing in Southport and other places that have delivered papers that I cannot explain. Probably a few of the most disturbing ones that I've witnessed was there is a road in downtown Southport near the elementary school when you get back into a community, where I have seen a woman in white standing on the corner, and I'll drive past her and I'll look in the mirror and she won't be there. And I've done my research and everything and come to find out that I believe it to be the wife of a local lawyer who in the mid-90s was cheating on his wife, and she unfortunately committed suicide. Anyway, so, I mean, I've seen this woman on multiple occasions, and she just gives me the fucking creeps. Like, I cannot explain how fucking creepy this woman is. And I always see her at the exact same time. 3:33 in the morning. If I get there at 3:32, I don't see her. If I get there at 3:34, I don't see her. But if I get there at 3:33, she's standing right there. And when I drive past her, she's no longer there. And if you hear background noise, I am currently delivering my paper out while I'm talking about this. Anyway, that one was one of my more disturbing stories. Also, another one down here in Southport, there is a house that used to be a tavern back in the, if I'm not mistaken, I've always heard the late 17, early 1800s. And, his name is Tony, actually. This ghost in this tavern, his name is Tony, and he is a musician. He's actually a violin player. And he only appears to musicians, according to local legend and everything. But, you know, one night I had my sister and her friend with me, and we drove past that house. And, you know, I'm always telling ghost stories on the paper out. We're listening to your podcast currently. And anyway... You know, I drove past the house and, you know, I was trying to scare them and everything. And, you know, of course, nothing happened that night. Well, the next night I decided to go by and I'm just going to take a couple pictures and, you know, just try to, you know, just take, you know, just scare my sister and so she'll show her friend and, you know, just all in good fun. I pull onto the road and all of a sudden my radio turns on and violin music starts playing through my radio. And I am freaking the hell out by this point. So I had my phone in my hand because I was going to take some pictures of the house. So I put it on record and I take a video of what's going on. And I pull over to the local library to, you know, park and try to watch the video because I was so freaked out after all of this. And the video was corrupted. And my phone battery had drained from about 70% down to in the teens. And those are the two stories in downtown Southport that scared me the worst. But also there's a town west of us. It's called Ash, North Carolina. And I don't know too much about the local legends of Ash, but I've had two very unexplainable things happen to me in Ash. And the thing is like, when I tell you these stories too, keep this in mind, I am from a long, long line of cunning folk. And my grandparents used to do the exact same job that I am currently doing. And my grandma is very sensitive to paranormal things like I am. And she has seen every one of these that I have seen, which is what's so scary. Except for Tony, because my grandmother is not a musician. But, anyway. So in Asheville, Carolina, there's a road called Horseshoe, which it comes off of the road, and it is shaped like a horseshoe, you know? Like, you know, it has two exits onto the main drag of Ash. And, I get into the very tip of the horseshoe and I hit somebody. I just fucking drove and hit a woman. And I'm freaking the hell out one night, and this night. And I get out and I look around and there's nobody around. And I talked to my granddad about it. My granddad, he turned white. And so my grandma was like, yeah, we also hit that woman too. And then this one got a little personal for me. There is a house, and it's on the corner of a road called Kingstown and Little Prong in Ash. And I pulled in one night, and I see, and they had like these big French doors, and I seen a man standing at the French doors with glowing red eyes. And he was wearing a nice suit. You know, he didn't look like he was from this time period. He probably looked like, you know, I don't know. If I had to really describe this suit, it was probably something from like the 30s or the 20s. And you know, I see that, and I actually, I had to throw a paper at that house and turn around. From then on, I would drive down about an eighth of a mile past that house after I threw the paper and turned around in a cemetery parking lot to avoid turning around at this house. And a few years pass after I do this, and I am training somebody on this particular paper out in Ash, and I go to tell him about that house. And he says, oh, yeah, my in-laws own that house, and I rented it from them for a while, and there was this man, and it's like, that house was haunted. I said, really? Tell me more about it. And he said that, you know, some nights that he would be asleep and he would wake up and standing in the doorway of his bedroom would be a man in a suit with glowing red eyes. And I told him that that's what I'd seen. And I don't know. He doesn't really know either. But I asked him so many questions after that. But apparently, you know, not that I can't find any physical evidence of this, but apparently there was a murder-suicide in that house during some time, but I'm not sure when it was. But anyway, these are the things that happen when you deliver newspapers. You see lots of different paranormal stuff and everything like that. Those are the most notable ones. And and then there's also the headless motorcycle driver. There was a biker bar in downtown Southport, and there's a long stretch of road between Southport, North Carolina, and a little town called Supply, and it's Highway 211. And when you get out on that highway, some nights a motorcycle will appear behind you. But the legend has it is that a man was at that micro bar in downtown Southport and then drunk drove back home, got hit by a car, and he's decapitated. I have to drive 211 seven nights a week doing newspapers, and it's nothing for me to see him at least once or twice a month. And I mean, this is something that I've really had to, you know, with being cunning, is dealing with my whole life, is, you know, seeing these spirits and interacting with them and everything. And I've actually kind of grown, you know, accustomed to the whole, you know, the whole element of being, of my life interacting with the supernatural. Anyway, Tony, huge fan of the shows. Love your Dark Side of Wikipedia the most of any of them. That's just how I am. I love reading Wikipedia. And while I'm out here on the paper route, you just read Wikipedia to me, basically, and talk about it, which is great. Anyway, thank you, and I hope to hear this on the show.
I don't think that, you know, I've never associated the hour of which papers are delivered with the encounters of paranormal, but that totally makes sense, because mm-hmm. you're out so early in the morning and it's still dark and things are still out doing their thing too. You know, you're probably out 3-4 in the morning throwing the papers, and that's yeah. like, I bet, yeah, just like his story, I bet you there's a ton of people that deliver papers that have similar stories.
Anybody that's not been on the road or doing anything, you know, in those hours, I think you're, I mean, it's like security guards, all that, you know, people that are working those hours in, you know, kind of lone situations, I think you're going to run into those sort of things. And I'm not talking, you know, late night factory shift work, but where you're kind of by yourself and all the other elements, all the other distractions of the day, people, cars, all that's quiet.
Yeah.
So everything stands out to you even more. And I don't even know if it's really, do you think, this is an opinion-based question, but do you think ghosts come out more at night? You know, I know that's like the spooky, that's what we talk about, because it's, you know, darkness. It'll do that to you. But do you think that there's truly more activity from the spirits in the middle of the night than there is in the middle of the day? Or is it more so it's just, it stands out that much more because it there's not all these other distractions around?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think people with, you know, at night, people going to bed, staying mm-hmm. in, doing their own thing, there you notice it more either in your home because you're home, or it, in this case, out on your paper route because there's not other people around.
Yeah.
So I think it's more that. I think things are just as active all the time. And, yeah. you know, I wouldn't put it past, though, the ghost, you know, maybe some ghosts feel more comfortable coming out at night because there's less people.
I'd be one of those ghosts.
The antisocial ghost.
I'd totally be an anti. I'd be like, I'm good. I like the dark. I would totally do this if it wasn't for like having a life,
okay,
a social life with my family. And just kind of, you know, needing to be up during the daylight hours to function, and interact with other people in a business, setting, I would totally be a super late night person where I would be up if I could. I'd change my whole day around as far as when I'm working and when I'm doing stuff to later in the night.
You'd be like a third shifter.
I think I would. I would love to sit here and work on ghost stuff in the middle of the night and sleep during the day and I would. I would totally, but it's not conducive to a productive life for my surroundings. So that doesn't make any sense to you. If it were only me, if it were just me, you guys didn't exist and I didn't do work on anything else. And, uh-huh. and that was all I was doing. I would totally do that. I used to do that before I had a family and all that. I would work on things till super late at night and without a thought. And I'd be up till 2-3 in the morning cooking. You know, working on messing with stuff. And I'm totally, but I would sleep then too till like 11 in the morning as well, because that's how my hours typically mm-hmm. worked. But I enjoy the night. I love taking the dogs out at night to go potty. And so sometimes now, where after I've taken the dogs out to go potty before I put them down for the night, I'll go back outside and I'll go, now that we have other pets out there, I'll go say hi to the horse. I'll go say hi to the pigs, or I'll just stand out there for a minute and just look at the stars. Yeah. Just because it's so pretty, and the moon when it's out there. And it's amazing what these phones can do now in terms of taking nighttime pictures with a full moon. It's crazy. I've put some up on my Instagram at Tony Bruschi, but it almost looks like daytime shots, the way it'll get the moonlight, but not quite. It's so spooky and mysterious, but I love the night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't see anything wrong. You know, I would totally haunt at night. That's my super long-winded Aspie answer.
I would haunt at night so I didn't accidentally scare somebody. That would be my thing.
I think you would scare people at night if you did come across them. It'd be even scarier because it's nighttime.
I know, but I would try and avoid people.
Just completely?
Yeah, because that's what I do.
Well, we're going to have to figure that schedule out. We got to figure our haunting schedule out.
Okay.
Because this is part of our agreement.
Okay. You know, yes, I know.
It was in our vows that we have to haunt each
other. You made sure that was in our wedding vows that we would haunt together.
Yeah. So.
True story. I am not fucking joking one bit.
It was. It was in the vows. We will haunt together. So we'll figure that shit out. Okay. So everybody's waiting with bated breath. What? How did this go? So last night we're sitting on the porch after we found out all this stuff about the possible graves on our property, about the Native American camp site that was here, about the Civil War encampment and the battle and the soldiers marching down our road. And the war stuff, the Civil War stuff particularly is of interest to us. It's a big deal in this town, and the park that has where the battle was is quite a park with walking trails and everything, and it's quite a thing.
It's a huge part of Prairie Grove, and I have to say I've always been kind of fascinated with Civil War history.
Yeah.
And that's some of my favorite personal ghost stories are the ones where people see Civil War soldiers. So I was just like, my head was spinning. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so much information I've got to find out. You know, I've got to do the research on it because I love doing research on anything.
And then
I'm sitting there and I am coming across, you know, I'm trying to find like maps of where encampments were and stuff like that. You know, historical documents about the Prairie Grove battle.
Area. Yeah.
Yeah. And, this picture comes up and it's an art, you know, an art piece. It's a depiction of the battle after, you know, somebody had painted it, sure, after the battle,
yeah.
They're not sitting there painting during the battle.
It's one of those that looks like it was probably painted around like 1900-ish.
Yeah.
You know, right around there.
Right, right. And I know this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this picture very well. And I look at it and it says the Battle of Prairie Grove. And I tell Tony, I just go, Tony, and I show him this picture. And 15 years ago, when I was married to my first husband, you know, I was young and we were trying to decorate our house, and my grandmother has always had Civil War items, you know, around her house. And I found this picture at my favorite antique mall. And I was drawn to it. I loved it. It was, at the time, $300, which was $300 more than I should have spent on any picture of anything. But I called my husband and I said, I really want this. And I want it for our dining room. So I want this gruesome battle scene hanging in my dining room.
Jenny, if you know her art, typically does not lean toward gruesome battle scenes.
Right. But it reminded me of when I saw at my grandmother's house, but I just, the landscape of it, and it, you could tell it was a winter battle because there's no leaves on the trees. It was just, I don't know, something about it just called to me.
Yeah.
I had to have that piece. So begrudgingly gave in and let me get it, and I hung it in their dining room, and I'm the only one that ever enjoyed it. And anyway, you know, a few years later we're getting divorced and we sold a ton of stuff, and I have no idea where this picture went, if we sold it at a decent price. I seriously doubt it's in his basement, but it is the picture. It's the Battle of Prairie Grove.
And you bought it not knowing even where Prairie Grove was. It was just more so like, this is an interesting battle.
Yes.
Picture, depiction of the Civil War. That's it. It wasn't a, being like, oh, Prairie Grove, I love that area. It was just...
I had never set foot in Arkansas.
Yeah.
I had no idea anything about the Battle of Prairie Grove.
Yeah.
I had no desire. I just like... I like antiques. I like Civil War stuff. And this picture, I could not have it. So yeah. I had it for several years. So I knew it well. And I don't know what ended up happening to it. You know how divorces mm-hmm. are. Things go separate ways and you don't really know. But I saw that. It was one of the pictures that came up when I was mm-hmm. doing research to try and find, you know, maps of the area and stuff. Yeah. I just typed in, you know, images, Prairie Grove Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And that picture came up. And that's when I immediately got goosebumps and I told Tony, I said Tony, and I showed him and I said, I used to own this picture.
Yeah.
15 years before we ever moved here.
Yeah. Before you even knew it existed.
Yeah.
And now it could very well be a depiction of our back of 2 miles that way.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I mean,
I'm still processing it myself because I don't know. I mean, I don't believe in coincidences.
Sure.
And of all the battles, I ended up moving to the city where that one happened. And I could just kick myself for not having that picture anymore. But
luckily it was a print and we can get another one. But
well, I hope so. You know, I've been looking. It's been a little bit of a challenge, but I took a screenshot mm-hmm. of the picture. So I will post that on of the picture that I found last mm-hmm. night. So I took a screenshot of it. It's not the one that I had actually hanging in my dining room, but I will post that at Jenny Brewski so you guys can see the picture that I had to have at what, 23 years old?
Yeah.
And now at 37, I live there.
Yeah. There. It's weird. It doesn't shock me because we hear so many stories like that every day. I think to the average individual who doesn't hear the level of stories, they'd be like, holy shit. And I am like, holy shit. But I'm like, this stuff happens.
I know.
This stuff happens.
I was hesitant to even share it because it's like, that's so not believable.
That's the last night you were like, nobody's going to believe me. I'm like, of course they'll believe you. Like, this is all we talk about all day for the last 8 years.
I know.
Now you have another one for you.
But it's like, I was just stunned and I'm still a little shaken because it's like, something's been pulling me here for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you got it. You're here.
I'm here. So now what's going to happen?
Well, what I said to her too last night, I said, I wonder if somehow you coming across that picture and making that realization that you had that all those years ago has anything to do with what we had learned about earlier in the day with the graves and the Native American encampment. Other than just you're in the right spot, you know. The universe telling you, you know, you're comfortable here. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would not have even looked for that. I would not have been looking for any images had we not had that conversation this yesterday morning.
It all just kind of worked together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's, you don't bring stories or tall tales to the show on any regular basis. So when you have one, it stands out and people know you're not making this up because you don't make shit up. This is just...
I know, but that's always my fear is that, you know...
No. It's...
I've been not believed on so many things in my life. That's why I assume that.
Well, luckily, you'll be happy to know we've created this little community
over
the last 8 years.
I know.
That we've been working on, and they're very accepting of
it's
other people's
place.
Stories. So this you can consider a safe place
it's
anytime
safe
you
place.
Want. Come into this office.
So this is the first time I've ever had a little hesitation to share a story on the show.
Yeah. So there you go. I thought that was a great ghost story and no ghost seen, but you know, unexplainable coincidences. I think because you're like, is this paranormal? Like, well, it's not supernatural, but it is not normal. So it would be considered paranormal. Supernatural would be like if you saw a soldier walking through the field. But certainly all of those things lining up would put it into the paranormal category. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I still don't know what to think.
I didn't know if you're going to have any more processing of it of, you know, 24 hours later, if you're still kind of like, what the hell?
I just have to say on a personal note, it has been one shitty couple of weeks. So this was just the icing on the cake of, I think my mind is going to explode.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not a bad icing, is it?
It's not. It's just one more thing that is heavy to process.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of heavy processing going on, and it's just like,
yeah.
Okay.
Your tank of tolerance of stuff is overflowing.
It is right now. Yeah. Yes.
So adding any little bit that it'll yeah. I get you. So anyway, interesting story, creepy story. I love it. That's how I'll put it. So that's story where we got or Jenny got to bring one to the table today. So thank you guys for listening. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. Call them in at 855-853-4802. Write in at Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you want to keep our show on the air and keep this pirate ship afloat of ghost stories for you all week long, become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.